ie. And we're going to start with the daily newspapers. And joining me in studio, Michael O'Regan of the Irish Times and Pat Leahy of the Sunday Business Post. And Michael, you're going to start with that tragic story. It's on the front page of the Irish Independent. The headline reads, "Online bullying claims life of tragic Erin, 13.
Yeah, this is truly awful, Miles. 13-year-old girl found dead in her home, and she told those who were bullying her online that she would kill herself, Erin Gallagher from Ballyphobia in County Donegal. Found by relatives on Saturday night, only 24 hours earlier, she had warned her tormentors that she would take her life. Now, Erin had been using the ask.fm site, and in a post on Friday, this is the day before she died, she responded to a comment which appears to refer to her being the victim of a physical attack in which she'd have her hair pulled. And Greg Harkin, in the Irish Independent, quotes her. She wrote back to her anonymous tormentors, and I quote, "Do you think you're funny bullying me over ask.fm? Yeah, you probably think it was funny when a expletive deleted. Put in a rope round my neck because of yous. Yous are that sad. Leave it now. You had your expletive deleted fun. Get over it. My hair wasn't all over the ground. Trust me. Plus, stop going round saying I got a bald patch. I had or have no bald patch." Unquote. Mm. And as
so, there's a lot more than online.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. I mean, this is appalling stuff. The Irish Examiner featured with Stephen Maguire and Fíochra O'Connor, and they say that friends of the young schoolgirl have reacted with disbelief to her death. A Facebook page set up in her honour called R.I.P. Erin Gallagher was available last night. Interestingly, Miles, about this, this was raised in the Dáil, actually, purely coincidentally on Thursday. The Minister for Children, Francis Fitzgerald, urged schools to redouble their efforts to ensure that this kind of thing didn't go on.
Mm. Did you see the story, Pat?
Yeah, I saw the story. It's in most of the papers this morning. It's a dreadfully sad story, really, but one that with which we're becoming increasingly familiar. This isn't the first time this has happened. Some weeks ago, there was a teenager in Leitrim, I think, did the same thing. And there's a couple of things to be said about it, I suppose. One is that it appears that all of these sites, and to a large extent the internet as a whole, is completely not just unregulated, but unregulatable. I know, I think it was one of the other RTÉ programmes did some tracking down of this Ask FM site and discovered it registered in several places overseas. So there's nothing that can be done to, apparently, to regulate the content of the site. Now, that having been said, it seems to me that the only way to address the issue is through kids themselves, and trying to get kids not to bully one another, I suspect, will be it's not a simple task, you know.
Yeah, and now, as you say, it's not the first, it's actually the third linked to cyberbullying in recent weeks. And the death of Erin Gallagher, obviously covered extensively in the newspapers today. But that incident is similar to other tragedies related to cyberbullying, Pat, which hit the headlines recently. Earlier, I spoke to Jonathan Pugsley, whose own daughter, Kira, died recently. That's the event that you were referring to, Pat, in Leitrim. And cyberbullying played a big part in her death. And I asked Jonathan to remind us of the circumstances of the death of Kira.
Unfortunately, 5 weeks ago, Kira committed suicide. And part of the whole story behind it was her being involved with websites where there were anonymous users on them. And she received a little bit of bullying from those websites. So that's 5 weeks ago, last Wednesday.
So presumably it's as raw now as it was 5 weeks ago, as far as you're concerned.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's probably even worse now for me, because there was a lot of involvement of the media to start with. My grieving process probably started a few weeks later than it probably should have done. But every little thing upsets me at the moment, and just to have Kira not with us is tragic circumstances, you know.
And then when you read the front page of the Irish Independent today and the death of Erin Gallagher, presumably it brings it all back.
It's just absolutely awful, you know. My heart goes out to the poor family and friends of Erin. It's such a tragic thing to happen. it sounds like very similar circumstances, and of course it brings it back so dramatically. But as I say, I just can't describe, or maybe I could if I wanted to think about it hard, I can't describe what a family are going through now. It's absolute torture. That's the only way to describe it.
I think anybody who has been bereaved in any way will have some idea of what you're going through, but to lose a child obviously is the worst thing that can possibly happen to a parent. Everybody knows that. Can you tell us, what did you know and what have you found out about the extent to which Ciara was bullied and the nature of that bullying?
Well, I've said all the way along, Miles, that I think it's just part of a jigsaw puzzle. I don't think it was 100% of the whole problem. But certainly I think it was a portion of it. And to be honest, I haven't dug into it very deeply myself because I just can't face going down that route. I'm sure that we'll find something out in due course and as time goes by. But I've tried to be strong for Daniel now, like my son, who's Kira's brother, and myself. I need to get back to work, so I've been concentrating on those things rather than sort of rehashing and digging up the past. It will no doubt happen at some stage, but it's just too raw at the moment to go down that route.
And understandably so. And to what extent were you aware of what Ciara was doing online, and to what extent do you think parents in general are aware of what their children are doing online?
Well, until Ciara committed suicide, I was not aware at all. I knew she had a Facebook page, but I was certainly not aware of these sites such as Ask.fm, you know. There are others out there too. They're not alone. There are other sites out there which allow their users to be totally anonymous. I just didn't know Ciara was on that site at all. And if I had have known about it and was more au fait with those things, then I would have certainly have encouraged her to not been on those sites, because the comments on there are just vile. There's no other way of describing them. And even adults would find some of the comments disgusting and vile, and it has to affect you. But for young children, then it has to be twice as bad, as because we've got a little bit of life experience and we can shrug them off to a certain degree. But youngsters, I don't think they have that capability.
Do you think the site specifically Ask.fm should either change its policy or close down if this kind of thing continues?
Well, I certainly think they should be looking at their policies. Yeah, they certainly should regulate themselves, and they should make sure those comments aren't allowed to continue on their sites, because. I'm all for media websites. It's the way to go, and we have them here. They're here to stay. I don't think they're going to go, but certainly we should make sure that what the content on them and their users, we know who they are and where they are, so there's some form of comeback if they write horrible things about people. Because at the moment, they can write anything at any time about anybody, and it's just not really, it's not acceptable in my opinion.
And do you think that parents should be keeping much, much closer tabs than perhaps they are on what their children are getting up to online?
Absolutely, Miles. And I think if anything good came out of Ciara's death, certain people have been coming to me and saying that they now know that their children were on these sites, they've taken them off these sites, which is a great thing to happen, you know. Unfortunately, there are still children out there on these sites, and unfortunately, parents aren't aware of these sites. We haven't done enough media advertising to get the people off these sites. So anytime we can talk about it, it has to do some good, I think, you know.
And I'm sure your heart goes out to the Gallagher family of Ballybuffet.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can't say how sorry I feel for them. It's just a tragic, you know. Terrible for them. My sincere condolences go out to them, you know, and their family and their friends, and I just lost the words, really.
Jonathan, thank you very much indeed. Jonathan Pugsley on the line there. Thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much for your time, Miles.
Jonathan Pugsley, who lost his daughter Ciara to cyberbullying in Drumahair in County Leitrim 5 weeks ago. Joining me now on the line is Niall Moraine, who gives classes to parents and to children on the internet and the whole issue of the internet and cyberbullying. Niall, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
You, as people will detect from your accent, you're a Donegal man. You're actually from Ballybuffet. As it happens, you don't know. You're not familiar with the family of Aaron Gallagher, but presumably you feel huge sympathy for them today because this is a subject that you're very familiar with.
Yes, Miles. I don't know the family, and yes, there's a lot of local outrage yesterday online and offline about how this could happen to such a beautiful young girl, and also why nobody could be caught for it, and why is it happening so much. And because it's local, people are more expressive of their feelings, because before we would have had it, as Jonathan was on there, we had it in Leitrim 5 weeks ago, and recently as well, Amanda Todd there in Canada was another one that was highlighted in the media. But when people think of it in other places, it's not as real to when it hits home.
Do you find in giving these classes that there's a huge amount of parental ignorance about what is actually going on, what is available to their children, and what their children are getting up to?
Yeah, so much. I don't know so much of this ignorance, but there is this gap that exists between the young people and the adults. The young people are so quick and techie savvy that they pick up things so quick, and they've no fear on their development online, whereas adults would have more of a fear. And adults may use work, they may use their computers, but when they come home, they may not know anything else how to use their computers, like outside of what they do at work. But when it comes to their young people online, they would like to get to know more, but they think it's just too daunting to start learning from scratch on what they're doing. So some parents start getting on a few social media websites, which is brilliant. So then they get a feel of what they're actually doing online. They can watch their children. But on the other side as well is what children can be doing while the parents don't know. And because children are connected, they are connected 24/7 now. They have their phones in bed. There's recent studies saying that children, one-third of children are going to school exhausted because they're staying up at night, sitting on their phones or their consoles, online, chat rooms. And, you know, it's like an addiction.
Mm.
They need constantly to be online to see what's happening. And they believe everything to be true that is online as well.
And what do kids say to you about what's going on? What do kids say to you about the extent of bullying, of cyberbullying?
They think it's horrible. The one good effect I've seen over the last couple of years is that children are becoming more available to speaking to the parents about it. A couple of years ago, I asked a group of young children aged between 8 and 9 what they tell their parents, and if somebody contacted them online, what would they do? And they said they wouldn't tell their parents in case their mommy would take their computer off them. Now they've more of a sense of what's going on, and the majority of them now would say, but there's still that group of people that wouldn't want to say as well. And it's not that they don't want to say, but they don't know how to go around it as well. Like, somebody might contact them and they mightn't be too sure what the contact is, because they can be a bit too young and naive maybe as well, and it can be hard for young ones to decipher who's good people and who's bad people.
And obviously these classes are for parents and for children, so
yes.
Can you actually tell children anything, or do they think they know it all, or do they actually know it all when it comes certainly to the technologicals or technical aspects of what they're doing?
Yes, I constantly learn from young ones as well.
Right, I would have thought so.
They do know an awful lot, and as I said, they have no fear, and they'll try anything. But when it comes to speaking about it, they will be honest in most cases about what they know in terms of IT, and then you get some people that will think they know a lot more, which is normal with young people. But the main thing coming out of it is that children are spending a lot of their time on social network sites because it's a part of their life. It's their communication tool that they use most now rather than face-to-face talking. When they go home after school in the evenings, they're on their mobiles, they're on their laptops, they're constantly talking to people, where they might spend more time online than actually would offline speaking.
Now, when it comes specifically to cyberbullying, obviously suicide is the ultimate response, and it is it's an inappropriate response, and it's an unacceptable response, as suggested by a texter here, Mary, who says, please balance this item with the message that suicide is not an acceptable response to these problems. Young people have to get out of this horribly destructive line of thought. I mean, there must be other responses, there must be other ways of combating cyberbullying that you have discussed with parents and with children, Niall.
Yeah, well, as that texter says, like it's the ultimate solution to a temporary problem that I heard on or seen on Facebook as well, that it's unfortunate that it goes that far. But on the side of what children would like to do is different, because their feelings are a bit more sensitive than what they would be if they're older. Some, they don't know how to handle some comments that have come harsh at them, and when they see a few people send a few harsh comments, they think that it's all, you know, life is so bad, and because of that young age, they think that everybody's against them, and it's very hard for them to comprehend that, yes, there is. That there is life out there.
But how do they actually set about combating it, short of doing harm to themselves?
I've heard of, you know, people actually would just say, right, okay, I delete that comment, I block that person straight away, or I'll tell my mommy or my daddy, I go to my school teacher or whatever. But then there's the people then that cannot say that, that feel it's something bad is happening that they can't discuss. Unfortunately, they're the people that go to the extreme. But most people, that if they can share with their friends or with their family members of what's happening, this can come to a resolution, because at the end of the day, this will pass as well. Anything that's bad happens normally does pass. So if they can just bear in mind of that.
And what they should do then, obviously you would want them to share things with their parents, but perhaps the first step would be sharing with their friends, and perhaps friends advising them that you have to share with your parents, or that you have to share with the Gardaí, you have to share with the authorities, you have to share with the principal of the school, for example.
Yeah, anybody adult would be very good contact, but they feel more comfortable sometimes with their friends, and if their friends then maybe could do the speaking for them in terms of going to their parents or older family.
So I suppose, one of the important things to do is to tell children that if one of their friends tells them that they are being bullied, that they are being cyber-bullied, that they would recommend that they would talk to their parents.
Yeah, immediately. Talk to your parents as soon as you can, or talk to some adult, because you don't know what could happen within any time span with somebody young. Anything can happen, and the quicker you react, the quicker things can be dealt with. It's all about speed.
Niall, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning. That's Niall Mulryan, who's giving classes to parents and to children on the internet and cyber bullying. I suppose one of the major problems here, Pat, is anonymity. The fact that you can essentially get away with anything online, you can say anything online, you can post the most horrendous comments online, and it's very, very difficult for anybody to find out who you are.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, the key enabler of this sort of behaviour among teenagers, and not just among teenagers. I mean, anybody with any familiarity with discussion sites on the web will know that.
I'm sure you have had some pretty horrendous thing. I know I have said about you online. You try not to read them, but
to be honest, I'm not aware. But I mean, an awful lot of what passes for debate online. There's some very important stuff done online. The internet as a tool for information is one of the greatest resources ever invented, but perhaps the greatest resource ever invented, but certainly comparable with the invention of printing. But it seems to me that anonymous discussions online sooner or later appear to descend into abuse, lies, assertion the assertion of facts which are self-evidently not facts. Massive amounts of defamation, and we worry about the media. And of course, the Levinson Inquiry is performing an important task in the UK at the moment about policing how, and there will be a harsher regime for policing what newspapers do, and all that is important. But it seems to me we're keeping our eye on this. This point was made. There was a really interesting piece in the Financial Times over the weekend by John Lloyd, making the point that we were worrying about this tiny part of what now constitutes the media, while there was a massive storm going on elsewhere. And I think, you know, that an awful lot of what is said that is offensive online would not be said if people had to append their names to it. The basic grounding principle of all publishing is that you stand over what you publish. But that doesn't apply to large parts of the internet, and I think that's a huge problem.
Mm. Okay, we will take a break, and you were talking about storms. You're talking in this instance about an internet storm. We will come back and we'll talk about the real thing, which is about to hit the, or may already have hit, the east coast of the USA. We'll be finding out about that after the break.